Hey, this is Kev Bayer, and you're listening to a special feature episode of Buffy Between the Lines.
Welcome to Buffy Between the Lines, Episode 6 Commentary. This is Tabs, your lovely producer. We do not have a guest speaker today. I will be your moderator on this lovely episode since I was barely in it. That was my big joke on Facebook. It's all Emma's fault. I have in the virtual studio today, I have Paul Mackey, who plays Javert.
Hello.
I have Leanne, who was Fred in episode 2 and played the mystic in the spirit scene. So hi, Leanne.
Hi.
And I have Laura, the late lamented Candace.
Hello.
And Kim, my wonderful co-producer and the Buffy bot.
Hi.
And of course, Emma, the fantastic writer who has been our person who's done the last 3 scripts. So, welcome, Emma, and she killed Candace.
Sorry.
Start off well.
Fine.
So, this is episode 6, Followed Footsteps, and if you haven't listened to the episode, you're already spoiled, so I don't know why you're listening to a commentary before you listen to the episode, so go back and listen to the episode. It was really, really good. Yes. But let's go ahead and start with Paul, since this is Javert's big episode. So, Paul, tell us about your audition process for the role of Javert.
Oh, my audition process was a whole lot of fun, really. I started out just reading for, I think, Doc to begin with. And then I was asked to read for, there was a second one. Oh, I can't recall right offhand, but I know that I was asked to read, I think, 3 times. And finally, I was asked to read for Javert, and I was like, ooh, that's the big bet. I was wondering if I might possibly have not found a place. You guys were just, well, he's good, but maybe not. I don't know what he's good for, and trying me in different places. But finally, I did achieve the role of Javert. I did get to tease Brian Brown quite a bit about it, though. We chatted back and forth a little bit about it, and I said that I went for a I'm blanking out on what I said. I did with the role.
You guys had a big bet going on.
Yes, we sort of had a big bet. I called in and teased him about it during the Wingin' It phone ins, and generally jabbered back and forth on the thing.
And Kim and I had no idea this was going on, and then we got this really cryptic message from Brian about, during the audition process, and we were like, "What?" And then we figured it out. We figured it out, and we were like, "This is hilarious."
Oh yes,
at that point, I knew what parts they were getting, and I was laughing my head off.
Yeah, because we knew before you guys knew.
I recall now. I told him that I gave it a snagglepuss.
Yes.
Take. I told him I told him I took it in a snagglepuss direction, and he said that his was more Charles Nelson Reilly, which is pretty much the same thing.
Very funny. Very funny. So let's move on to Candace, because this is also a very big episode for Laura and Candace. So, Laura, can you tell us a little bit about your character? I think we talked about her in episode 2, right?
I think so.
Yeah. So tell us about being Candace during this time, and kind of what was it like to play an original character that had such a, not a large season arc, but she had her own little story to tell.
Well, first I think I'm going to start with stating, yes, I am Andrew and Tucker's sister. It felt really cool, I guess, because I'm new to podcasts in general, so the overall idea of it was well, awesome. And getting to be an original character who had this amazing story, and she fit really well with the canon characters because she's Tucker and Andrew's sister, made it that much more interesting because at the same time she fits in, but she was still my own at the same time to bring a voice in and bring her to life. And for the record, like, being killed, not so much fun, especially the screaming, because it took, like, forever. I'm serious. It took forever to get a decent scream out. But at the same time, in just, like, a short period, she didn't have that many episodes, that people really got to know her, and it's just really great to be a part of that.
Very cool. Let's move on to Leanne. Now, Leanne, you have the unique joy, along with a couple of other people, but you have the unique joy of being not only an original character in this episode, but playing a canon character in the series, because you were Fred. So what was the difference between playing the original character of the Mystic and playing the canon character of Fred from Angel?
Well, for the Mystic, I have really no idea what her role in the start or where, I don't know, you know, where she's from, all the basics like that. So it was hard for me to decide what her voice should sound like, and I did a bunch of different things. I think the final take was something higher pitched, but I really think about using some sort of accent, and then I'm like, well, I'm not actually from other countries, so maybe that's not a good idea. But for Fred, I was able to get into her mindset easier because I guess I can relate to her in some ways. She just always seems to have this like nervous energy because she's thinking about a thousand things at a time. And so that's what I try to into that mind frame when I do Fred.
Very cool. Let's go on to Kim and BuffyBot.
Sure.
Because you never get to talk about BuffyBot enough. And BuffyBot's role, I think it was really interesting the way that Emma did it, where BuffyBot didn't remember her meeting Javert. So tell us kind of like, what were you thinking when you recorded these lines for BuffyBot and kind of her role in that big scene where the gang all gets to meet Javert.
Yeah, you know, it's fun playing the bot, but it's kind of a challenge because in some ways she's very vapid. And so it's really, you know, I mean, especially in this particular thing because she did meet him before. And, you know, I mostly just try to sort of keep thinking perky and try to keep sort of that attitude going. And then, just cheerful and perky is really what I try to strive for when I'm, you know, especially in this particular scene. I remember being confused, like I wasn't sure if I should, you know, be laughing at him. I wasn't sure if I would find things funny. So, I tried a couple different things with the takes. So, hopefully it came out okay.
I loved it. I love when I heard the final version with the BuffyBot, and you know, I loved her continual. This is really a big episode where the characters are kind of turning against Spike more, and this this will keep happening. You know, it's what happened in the series, but you know, BuffyBot is like, oh yeah, I know he's gonna be fine. You know.
Yeah. Yeah, that was fun. Like, she's definitely on Spike's side. So.
So it was fun to have her there so not everybody felt like Spike was just being attacked. You know, there's one person on Spike's side. And then
even
we can,
if he doesn't want her there.
Yes. Then we can move on to Emma. And Emma, this is probably, and I'm going to say this and hopefully nobody takes it the wrong way, but episode 6 was our 666 episode. It seemed to be cursed from the get-go because we lost the first writer. His computer exploded basically and he couldn't get it to us on time, so Emma kind of took over for it. So what was it like jumping in kind of at the last minute to write this episode?
Scary. Because it was, I think, while I was writing it, we'd already cast everybody, and that was, all the other scripts had already, so it's a bit intimidating. It's like all these smart people have joined and scripted. It just made me very nervous.
Well, you did excellent.
Thank you. Hopefully.
And I know Kim and I were kind of on edge because this is the big episode. This is like the episode of the series to really hit the emotion, hit the story arc, to really start things going crazy, for lack of a better term. So you did excellent job, and there were things in there that I had never even envisioned that you added in that I thought were just great, and so I really enjoyed the episode.
Yeah. I love the backstory, I have to say, quite a bit.
The backstory for Javert?
Mm-hmm. Like the historical sort of scenes.
Yeah.
Yeah, those were fun to write. Well, some remember.
They were fun to edit, too.
Yeah, Kim did a really, she edited the all of those historical,
right.
And the France scenes, everything in the France scenes.
Yeah.
She did. And I remember listening to him going, that's really good, because I didn't even think of, like, you added the air sirens for.
Yeah, I had to find cars that had sounds from the past. Mm-hmm. So that was interesting. And because I had a whole thing laid out, and I was like, whoa, that sounds modern. This is set back a long time ago, huh? So I had to do some fiddling with all that, which was interesting and a new challenge.
Mm-hmm. And you even added in the bar scene, you added in the French music, and it just sounded, mm-hmm. it sounded really good. And then that brings me to another one, and Paul can talk about this a little bit, but another problem we had with our 666 episode,
yes.
was, our French barmaid. We needed somebody who could speak French, and we had somebody lined up, and she was all excited, and we never heard from her. And then we found somebody else, and we never heard from them. And I think Paul stepped in last minute and said,
yeah, my wife can speak French to some extent. I think it worked out pretty well. It was small lines. Did you use her dialogue on both barmaids?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I didn't actually recognize her on the second one when she was throwing them out.
Oh.
Yep, it was all her.
Yep. So that was good. And my friend, who has a PhD in French, translated the lines for me, and she didn't know anything about the audio drama, and she was just laughing at what we were having the character say. So it was fun. So if you don't know French and you really want to know what the barmaid said in French, we can give you the translations.
Yeah.
But let's go back to Leanne, because I didn't get to ask you about your audition. So tell us about your audition process for Buffy Between the Lions.
Well, I think, I'm not sure exactly when the call for auditions came out, but I check Whedon-esque basically every day because, well, at that point, I was obsessed with just getting membership just because I kept missing, like, just missing it by, like, an hour or so.
Oh.
And so I'm like, oh, well. And then I saw the auditions, and I was just really excited because voice acting was something I was always interested in trying, and I love Buffy, so thought, why not? So I decided to audition for Buffy, Fred, and one of the original characters because, I thought I could do a decent Fred, and I wasn't sure on the others. I just wanted to try out. And I recorded my audition samples. And the last day of auditions was actually the day I was leaving to go home to Hawaii for a week because I was going to spend some time with my family. But I still wasn't satisfied with my takes, so up to like the half hour before I actually left for the airport, I was recording my audition. So those audition files, they were recorded last minute.
That's great.
Interesting. Yeah, you were one of the later entrants, I remember.
Mm-hmm. And we had some really cool auditions, but we didn't have very many friends at all. And I remember when Kim said, "Oh, we got a really good one," and I played. I was like, "She's perfect."
Yep.
She's perfect. She sounds great. And that it has been shared with fans because they like, "Oh, you know, that Fred was really great." And when are we gonna have the Angel crew again? And I was like, "Not this season."
Yeah. Hang around for another year.
Laura, I don't think you got to tell your audition story, so why don't you tell us about auditioning?
Well, pretty much my entire audition process involved me bothering Kim like a couple times a day, honestly. Let's see, I started with auditioning for like every female role that there was available on the page, just sending in auditions after auditions, and the first audition I actually came in to go for was Dawn. And then I think after that, it was pretty much just going for Tara, because I guess there was something with my stutter, which was kind of cool. And I found out after I'd be cast as this original character. And it was funny, too, at the same time, because when I got the email, I saw that there was two Lauras. I'm like, huh, which person am I? And yes. Then I've been in love with Candace ever since. So.
Yes, and Candace has become, I think, very special to all of, you know, the cast and crew of Buffy Between the Lines, because it became so awesome because Tara, Cliss, and Laura have this really special relationship, and to the point that Rachel wrote them a fanfic about Candace and Tara at college before Willow shows up, and it's really racy, but it's fun.
It was one of my highlights, and I think one of the highlights too was coming into this was getting to meet someone as awesome as Cliss, because we have so much fun when we record, and like I'm sure half the writers and, you know, Tabs and Kim want to kill us half the time when they get our recording in.
Well, I know. Well, we're going to talk about Cliss, and she's not even here, but I know Kim and I always laugh when we get new editors who are culling bloopers for us, because we get this question and we know exactly what file they're on, where they're like, do I have to cull the stuff where somebody's swearing? Yep. We're like, oh, you're editing Cliss, aren't you?
Yep, I've said, yeah, we know about it. Please keep it.
Yes, please keep it. So it's become such a great thing, because now when Clay has done this and Emma has done this, when they're recording, they go, I'm not going to pull a Cliss.
Yeah.
So you get a little behind-the-scenes flavor of Buffy Between the Lines there. But.
And I want to throw in something really quick about the audition process, because I've heard it a lot, and it just makes me laugh every time I hear it, is people saying, yeah, well, I recorded for this part, and then I was asked to record this part, and this part, and this part. Yeah, I did that with everyone.
Mm-hmm.
I pretty much, and it meant nothing. It didn't mean that I wasn't interested in, you know, or that we weren't interested in you for the original part you tried for. It's just that we were a little nervous that we wouldn't have a lot of response, and so we were trying to get the right sound for things. But also, in some cases, we just wanted to have a lot of options. Mm-hmm. Like, some people, you know, really did excellent in like 8 different parts. So it was really a process of narrowing things down and figuring out what part they would be perfect for.
Right. Yeah. Cause there was a lot of them where Kim came to me and she's like, I really like XYZ person for XYZ role and XYZ role and XYZ role.
Yep.
So which one did they do the best?
You know, in other cases where I was like, wow, this person, you know, I would just be totally sold on somebody. And then last minute, somebody new came in and it sort of threw everything into the mix. So, yeah.
And then there were the people that Kim was totally sold on, and I was like, eh.
Yeah. And there were some of those too, quite a few.
And actually. People that I was totally sold on, she was like, eh.
But I think ultimately we ended up with an excellent, excellent group.
Oh, we did.
So
we did.
I'm really excited.
And of course, the fans have loved it, so. We love our fans and they love us, which is a very, very awesome thing. But let's move back into episode 6. And
yes.
Paul, obviously Javert is an original character. And I find it amusing that people have been Googling Javert and coming to our site. Like they were Googling Javert Buffy. So I think they're trying to figure out who this guy is and if he, you know, if he's part of the Buffyverse. But can you explain who Javert is in your own words, you know, as you've been playing him, you know, kind of how you've discovered this character?
Well, I've pretty been going with, let's start with the voice. I'm a little bit lazy and a mumbler when I speak. So part of what I chose to do was to have him speak very precisely. And that was really, there was two reasons for that. One was because I know that I'm a mumbler anyway, so I'd be working on it. But also because I wanted to choose between doing an accent, and we all know that the Buffyverse has a depth of good accents and some not so good angel. So I determined that I wouldn't be a David Boreanaz, and I would not using an accent. So instead, I decided that he would have decided to speak English as well as he could. So he speaks a little bit up, pretentious English, and sometimes I'm even concerned whether I might be doing an accent, a semi-British accent. I know that I'm not, but it sometimes feels that way.
And as far as who Javert is as a person, you know, obviously there's a lot of multifaceted that I tried to put into the character when I first created him, and then that Emma has really brought out. So who do you, if you were to, like, you know, write his mini bio or write a personality profile on him, who is he?
Well, he's definitely the precise manner of speaking works too, because he is fairly pretentious about all of the choices that he makes. You know, he's definitely trying to decide what's going to make me the best supervillain, and I lost my train of thought.
Well, we'll go to Emma. Emma, since, you know, obviously. I just said I originally created Javert with a lot of input from a lot of different people. What was it like to write for him and to kind of give him that voice?
I'm trying to think. It was a while ago. I think we talked a lot about him, and like where lots like his past and stuff seems to affect him quite a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you and I talked about him probably the most. We're just sitting there going, okay, so what do we want him to be, and what do you don't want him to be? And it's interesting, you know, I have a special love for Javert because I didn't want him to be this horrible big bad, because that would be too hard for our crew to come up against without Buffy. You know, obviously they need Buffy. But then again, I didn't want him to be so easy that, you know, we could kill him in the first episode if we wanted to.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of his origination story tempers a lot of who he is, too. Mm-hmm. Like, the fact of who sired him and, you know, his sort of issues around how he came to be born as a vampire were sort of huge in, I think, at least from what I could see in the development of him.
Yeah, definitely. That when we decided that it was going to be Spike had sired him, I think that pretty much sealed his fate and his backstory. And yeah, because he is a lot like Spike. And I think he has some of the personality traits that Spike tries to hide and probably does a lot better with. that he doesn't like about himself. But
yeah, Spike seems to have a lot of, I mean, Javert definitely has this petulant quality to him. You know, just I think when Spike diagnoses his pouting as an adolescent snit, mm-hmm. I think that's actually probably pretty accurate to some extent.
Oh yeah, definitely. Definitely. Well, Leanne, what did you think about Javert as you've been listening to the episodes?
Well, when he first showed up, I was just like, okay, who is this guy? Who does he think he is? And I think, you know, originally, like everyone else, he came off as a bit of a joke. I mean, like, he just, at times, he just seemed a bit too genial to me. Hmm. But, this episode, I mean, like, gradually, you know, you see him, kill people to get new minions. And then this episode, I don't know, it just really, like, I finally understood where he came from. And so at the same time, that made me love the character more, but that also made me fear him more, because like, to see the source of his pain and like the source of his vampirism, and to know that it comes from that night where he lost his wife. Well, I mean, that was after, but that it came from that. And that just really makes me scared to see if he will continue to progress more based on that now.
Yeah, it was an interesting field to play, because I wanted him to sneak into this and for people not to realize what a danger he is, because I wanted them, when you see him with Candace, to go, oh my gosh, what just happened? But Laura, what do you think? Because obviously you have the most emotional stake in what happened in this episode. So what do you think about Javert?
All right. Well, I was just kind of pondering this question myself as you guys were going through it, thinking, all right, I'm next here. Mm-hmm. So pretty much from the get-go, I knew the fate between Candace and Javert. She was his next meal. So I do have to admit, being the person to provide the sound effects when he trips, so very worth it. But all in all, as far as the bads go, he's well written and he's voiced amazingly.
So. Thank you.
Welcome.
Aww. We still love each other, even though bad things happen in the episodes.
Sorry. It was tough to sign
it. It really was. Yeah.
Well, we knew that we had to have something dramatic happen, or nobody, I mean, as Leanne pointed out, nobody would take him seriously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Laura's character, Candace, was written to die, so.
It's true.
Unfortunately, but let's move on. So what is your favorite thing about your character? And we'll start with Leanne, and you can talk either about Fred or the Mystic, and you can talk about how Tabitha has not told you what's going to happen with your character, the Mystic. Then I I'll just say this, nobody really knows what's going to happen with that. I've kept almost
Maybe
everybody in the dark.
Oh,
Tabitha. <knows.
laughs> Well, for the Mystic, all I can gather is that she seems to be very confident in her abilities to do whatever it is she does. So, I don't know where that's going to go. I really don't. But it's fun to just, like, you know, to totally just be someone else than, yeah, just to be someone new, even though you don't have an idea who they are. For Fred, I don't know. My apartment is kind of cave-like, I guess. So that helps me get into the... I went to school in Texas. It's not like I picked up any of the speaking mannerisms or anything, but I like to think that helps a little bit, like maybe on a subconscious level. Hmm. I don't know.
No, that's good. That's good. Laura, what's been your greatest love of your character, the greatest thing about your character?
Greatest thing about her? Probably that she's an original character, but at the same time, she's right up there with the canons, because, well, she's a Wells. I loved giving her voice and making her who she is, or, well, was. And I have to give a shout-out. I feel the need to give a shout-out to Andrew and Tucker, as just the whole, you know, scene with the bunny rabbits and trying to do homework. The coffee shop scene, I think, will always be a favorite of mine, no matter how mean I think I was to a point with, like, Andrew, do you know what you just did? And just the way they reacted, you know, when they got the news and they loved each other, no matter how twisted, you know, Sunnydale is, they were siblings. So I think just, you know, developing that and just in a matter of, you know, a couple episodes and everything, it's just that she's became who she is. Really.
Yes. Oh, definitely. I know when you guys were recording that scene, I was hoping in episode one that we could establish that you guys were siblings, to the point where people would accept that. And when I heard the recordings, I was just like, oh yeah, you guys sound like brothers and sisters fighting. It's perfect. It's wonderful. It's good. So yeah, you guys did really well. But let's move back to Javert. And Paul, did we tell you right away about Javert's backstory?
To some extent. Mm-hmm. I know that you told me that Spike turned me, mm-hmm. and that I was relatively young, although I didn't really clarify with you whether I was relatively young when turned, relatively young vampire. It turns out that it's both. I didn't really know that it was going to be a World War II thing. So basically when I was first just doing like, okay, what could this character be? I actually did some backstory work of my own. It turned out that it was all, but it did turn into a nice little fanfic that I was able to put on Strangely Literal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did. That was a great story. And so when you were doing this episode, what was kind of the challenge for recording for this episode?
Well, to a great extent, the challenge was really to get the depth of the sadness emotion. I don't really think that I've had anything nearly that bad happen. Nowhere near. So, and I'm not really an act. I've taken two or three acting classes back in, but I'm not really an actor. I haven't really performed on stage before. So really, it was just getting that depth of emotion, and I'm not even sure whether I know that some of that sounded like it was my original take when I was recording in group session, but then I did do a second take later on that was a little bit more subdued, and not so much with the fake crying. I can't tell, is this a blend of the two takes, or is this entirely that first take?
I have no idea. I didn't edit that scene. Do you know, Kim?
I didn't either. No, I wish this probably was Cliss, truthfully. So I'm not certain.
Yeah.
And actually, I have not, I haven't heard it with the full music underneath. So I really don't know. I felt.
Wait, was it the scene with Nicola dying?
Yes, where I was
sobbing. Okay. There must be two parts of that, because I know, I don't think I remember sobbing, but I did do the one where, I did the one where she woke up. And right. And then you turned. I don't know if that's the same
scene. You did the one before the one he's talking about.
I think
about.
It is.
Yeah. But not the one where Madeline comes in.
Yeah, no, I did not do the one with Madeline.
Yeah, because I did that entire take the way that I think the thing sounded like. But maybe that was, I couldn't tell if that was all the same take or not, is what I'm saying, I guess.
It could be a blend. Sometimes we take like a word from one take. And mix it with the rest of a different take. So.
Well, as long as we all keep the same levels and such.
It works out well. Yeah, the scene that I was proud of that I edited was the submarine scene. Because that one was hard.
That was hard. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I had my scene that, my 666.
Your 666, yes. Scene 6 of episode 6 that...
that about killed me.
Yes.
But...
most of our editing goes really well, and I have no idea why episode 6 was so hard, but for some reason it was. And that's part of the reason why it took so long to get to you guys. If you're listening right now and you're like, oh, it took over a month to get episode 6. We had planned on having a little bit of a respite because of the holidays, but then with our being busy, and then Austin was at Sundance. Everybody congratulate Austin for his award for the Captain Ahab film. That was a really big surprise. So he was at Sundance, and so we had to wait for him to get back. But we actually needed that time because we were having so many editing issues.
Yeah.
And just weird things happening. So it was a very...
It was our Macbeth.
It really was. but let's go to writing. And Emma, what did you think when you've heard the episode now? What's your reaction when you hear what you've written actually done? So what did you think when you heard episode 6?
It's really strange. I need to listen to it another time because I don't know. I just hear all the things that I wish I'd written better and stuff like that. So, but I think everyone did a really good job. And my favourite scene was the laughing scene. I was actually laughing at that. So.
Yeah, and the music behind that. I know some of you guys haven't heard the music one yet, but the music behind Javert talking about his plans comes really dramatic, really dramatic, really dramatic, and then when he says California, he's gonna drop California in the ocean, it just stops. And it really added to that. So Austin did a really good job, and everybody did a really good job at laughing, and I think Xander did a really good job in that scene too, and you guys can mm-hmm. can chime in. He did a good job. So
I want to make a quick cut on this because I know Emma will enjoy this bit. We had planned this whole California falling into the sea thing, and I was explaining to my husband a long time ago the situation we're planning for our big bad, and he goes, "Oh, like Superman and V to a Kill," and I was like, "What?" he's like, "Yeah, you know." They all had that same plan. I'm like, oh, really? Uh-oh. And I was like, I should probably go tell them that. Because, of course, we were clueless. And at least I was. I'm sure Tabitha knew the whole time. And so I went to Emma and I was like, hey, Emma, I have to tell you this.
Yeah, what did you think, Paul, when you found out that Javert's big plan was to drop California into the ocean?
Well, actually, it was one of the audition lines, so I've known for quite some time.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah, but I did think that it was definitely Lex Luthor all over again.
Superman. Only I don't think Javert has real estate plans in mind.
I don't think he has real estate plans in mind. I don't think that there's an Otisville app. yeah, no, I think he's pretty much just planning on a nice feeding frenzy.
I hadn't thought of that. That's good. I hadn't thought. The only thing I thought of was he just wanted to make something big enough where he doesn't destroy the whole world, but he makes a name for himself.
That's right. So. Still gets to keep the Happy Meals with legs.
Yes. See, he's so much like Spike. he's just not suave enough. poor Javert.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, no. I feel like Javert does have a lot of depth, though. That's the one thing that I've enjoyed the most about doing Javert is really starting out the little bit of the stills and the building his crew and things, and then we get to this episode and there's the drama and the killing a character that people have started to like. Mm-hmm. And then, not to say or spoil anything, but later on just some of the really twisted, nasty stuff that's coming up.
Twisty, nasty. Oh, now you've got them all. They're going to be emailing me. When's the next episode coming out? When's the next episode coming out? One brother.
We love our fans.
We do. Fans. Go ahead and send us emails. Yeah. Oh. All right. So
sooner than this one.
I just wanted to know, you know, this is kind of a selfish question, but I just wanted to know what your general thoughts were about working on this production and how you felt about being a part of it. I know a lot of you, I think all of you, yeah, all of you are signed up for season two, so obviously at some point you like it, but can you just tell us a little bit about working on Buffy Between the Lines and what you've learned and what you feel about it, and we can start with Kim, because I made her work on it first.
Yeah, it's true. It's been huge. It's been great. It's been lousy too in some ways, but no. It's been a really big project, and it's been a whole lot of fun. But every once in a while, I sort of sit back and think about all the things that I need to do or have done or whatever, and I get a little blown away. But the end product is so awesome. And if I were a fan, you know, like just listening and not involved at the level I am, I would just be eating it up, because I love that we're able to retell, you know, to go in between, and tell stories that haven't been told and yet make them fit in. Mm. So that's awesome. And then of course the people have been so amazing. I've made connections with every single person, I feel like, and I feel like I've just got a whole, like 100 new friends all over the world, which has been awesome. So lots of work, but worth it.
Lots of work.
Lots of work. Yeah. Leanne, now I was just shared a part of it with Leanne recently, and she was like, wow. Huh.
Okay. Emma, what's your thoughts about working on Buffy Between the Lines?
I get to write for Joss Whedon's characters. That's really great. It's the nearest I can get to working for Joss Whedon.
That would be fun too.
Yeah. And just meeting and getting to talk to lots of different people. And I think my confidence as a writer has got better.
Laura.
Sorry, my mic wouldn't come back off mute.
Oh no! So, Laura, what's it been like to work on Buffy Between the Lines?
Well, I've learned about the wonderful world of podcasts. I love all the people that I've met and all the friendships that I've made. And now this is all fun stuff, naturally, but the work—it's really work. There's so much work involved in the project, and it like constantly amazes me whenever I hear the finished project. The music is something that it blows my mind, because it's like you're really watching something by Joss. So I love that when you listen, you can see the actors really doing what they're saying. So like all comes together like an actual episode.
Very cool. And Leanne?
I've listened to podcasts before this, but this is my first time actually being involved in the making of one. And yeah, it is a lot of work, but, I don't know. I like all this, seeing the aspects, from the written script to all the little parts, the voice parts being pieced together. And then even though I've read the script beforehand, whenever a new episode comes out, I'm like, oh, yay! And I go download it and I listen to it. And because, with all the music and the finished sound effects, it's just completely different from just reading the words. Mm. It's like seeing everything working together. And yeah, I really like
it. Yeah. And I think, I don't know, I've had this experience, maybe Emma has too, because we're so far removed from writing, you know, I wrote episode one so very long ago. when I hear it, it's just like, oh, wow, did I write that? did I write that? To the point where, you know, I've read the script so many times, I've heard the scene so many times, I've heard the recording so many times, but yeah, I still... I still love listening to it. We took a really long trip to San Diego, and I loaded up my iPod with all the episodes, and I just listened to the episodes, and I was like, I still love this. I still like listening to this, even though I've heard it so many times.
Mm-hmm.
And just to add, I totally forgot to mention this, but Leanne wrote the Anya Magic Box promo, you know, the promo for the Magic Box, which I absolutely adored. I love that little piece, and she is writing for next season, and it's going to be awesome. And she's,
I hope so.
It is. It's going to be awesome, because I love seeing the next season coming together. And she's also coordinating the editors for us, which is amazing, because that's a huge, huge, huge undertaking. So Leanne has jumped in full hearted into this.
And I love her.
Yes, we love Leanne.
Oh, thank you.
Welcome.
It's fun being part of all of this.
Good. I'm glad. I'm glad it's fun. But let's move on to Paul and see if he's having as much fun as we are.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, no question. What's impressed me the most about working on this is just the ambition of the thing, and then just that we're pulling it off in such a grand manner and such a scope. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've done a little bit of podcast recording and collaboration on a short story serial called Really Big Things that I produced, and I had a lot of various podcaster cameos in that, but this is way beyond anything that I've ever done before, and I'm just really impressed by the scope of the whole thing, and it's really done a lot for me in terms of how I've gotten into more of the performing and the reading, and now also I've successfully written an episode, the first draft of an episode for season two, and I'm really excited about that as well.
Yeah, I love how, and I'm obviously. I just love how many people are inspired by Buffy Between the Lines and how many people are so excited to be part of it. And I've said this before, but that's the thing that marvels most people I talk to, is like, wait, they're not getting paid? Wait, none of these people are getting paid, but they're working so hard. And it's true. Kim and I sit back and go, wow, it's one thing for us because it's one thing for me because I'm passionate about it. This is kind of my baby, so obviously I'm gonna put a lot of work into it. But to see other people kind of adopt mm-hmm. it and make it their own baby, because yeah. it really is. It's everybody who's worked on it. It's your baby, and to see the episodes come out and then to see the fans just go nuts. I mean, I am trying not to brag, but to have people write to us and say, this sounds like Joss Whedon. This is reminiscent. I hated fanfic, but I love this. And it's just blows us away. Blows me away. Mm-hmm. I'm
totally stunned at the just the sheer amount of positive feedback we get. I mean, usually when you put something like this out, you'll get a lot of feedback, but you'll get a mix of positive and negative stuff. And so I've been really sort of stunned that, because a lot of times, I mean, everybody's heard it. If there's something to, you're 10 times more likely to speak up when you're unhappy about something than when you're happy about it.
Right, right.
And so the fact that people are speaking up and sharing when they're happy, we don't get a lot of, well, I guess, sure there's people that have preferences and whatnot, but it's sort of cool that we don't get a lot of, well, you guys suck.
Right.
So.
And we get critiques.
We get critiques, yeah.
Which is what we love. It's fine to tell us.
Definitely.
It's fine to tell us, hey, your levels were weird. And we're like, yeah, we know. We're working
yeah,
on it.
Yeah, we're growing.
But, we aren't getting, oh, no, this totally wouldn't happen. Willow would never say that, or, Buffy would never say that, or this wouldn't happen. We're not getting that kind of, oh, this is the worst. This doesn't sound like Joss. And I don't want to listen anymore. We're getting the opposite. We're getting people that really love it and are and are making it their babies too, to the point where they become evangelists for us in a sense to go out and tell people, you need to listen to this. Why aren't you listening to this? So that's really cool. But we're getting close to time, and it's surprising me that we're almost in an hour here, but let's go ahead and do final thoughts from everybody. Anything you didn't get to say that you want to say, and shout outs and all that stuff. And I think we'll start with Laura.
Oh no, why'd you have to start with me?
Because I'm mean.
I think I've said what I need to say. I got most of my shout out. I need to go to someone else.
All right, we'll go to Paul. Paul?
All right, well, it's been a lot of fun performing Javert thus far. I think I've still got two episodes to record, and I have a strong feeling, although I do not know anything about the ending, that I'm most likely going to be fitting in an ashtray by the end of this all. Just tends to happen. Shout outs, I just want to say, hey everybody, check out my main podcast, which is actually someone else's name, jackmangan.com. Jack Mangan's Dead, where I'll be hanging out most of the time if you ever want to find me.
Can you do that shout out again, Paul? I'm sorry, it broke up.
Oh, okay, yeah, sure. It's like I said, it's my main home, although it's actually someone else's name. It's jackmangan.com. That's Jack Mangan's Deadpan Podcast. Deadpan is the way.
Perfect. And Emma?
I just think everyone did a really good job, and I'm sorry, Laura, I killed you.
It's okay, I still love you.
You did a really good job. Obviously. It's good that I feel bad for killing you.
Leanne.
I'm just excited to see how the story finishes up, and I'm excited about season two as well, with auditions and everything. And yeah, I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I'm involved a lot with season two, so I'm excited about that.
Yes, we should have more news about auditions soon. It's
Yes.
Our scripts are late because of tabs, so.
And me.
I was just going to make them all think it was me, Emma, but if you want to go ahead and tell them, yeah, you're late too. Yes. I was going to be the big producer and make it all about me, but oh well.
I'll make it about you. It was Taps' fault.
Yes, everyone's Taps' fault.
Oh, great.
Actually, it's Clay's fault.
It's all Clay's fault, yeah. He's not writing, but it's his fault.
Well, no, I was on time.
Yes, Paul was on time. Leanne was way beyond time. You gave it to me in December, didn't you, Leanne?
No, it was. Oh, yeah, I think so. Like right before it turned into the new year.
Right, right. It was like December 31st.
Season one. Season one's on my brain.
Season one's on your brain.
Yeah.
Okay, who didn't get to say? Laura, what was your final thoughts now that you've had time to think?
I still haven't thought, really. I don't know what my final thought is. I love being part of something so huge, because it's not just, it's all over. So,
very cool.
Massive.
Very cool.
I think I liked my last final thought better. Go to someone else.
Kim?
Gosh, I talk a lot. No, I've, you know, of course I'm loving this. And even though, like, Laura laughs that she did bother, she really did contact me almost daily when she was auditioning. I really do love that sort of contact with people. And so I'm really enjoying that level of being able to connect with the fans and the actors and whatnot. And so, yes, I'm excited for season two. I'm excited to finish up season one and see how, you know, I want to listen to them all back to back.
Yeah, that was the fun thing about the trip to San Diego, was listening to them back to back.
Yeah. So it looks like Laura has something else she wanted to add.
I will make sure to bother you for season two.
The tradition. Well, you better, because you're helping. Yes. Yes.
Everybody bother him.
AthenaMuse@gmail.com.
Fabulous.
Yes. Well, thank you guys so much. It was a blast to listen to episode 6 come together, and everyone did a fantastic job, and hopefully the fans love it and will continue to listen. This has been Tabs, and I have been here talking with Paul, who's Javert. Say goodbye, Paul.
Goodbye.
And Leanne.
Bye.
Laura.
Jamie!
Knew that was coming. Kim.
Bye.
And Emma.
Bye.
And we'll talk to you guys soon. Bye.
Beneath the streets of San Francisco, they are waiting, hoping you stay out a bit too late to drink a bit too much and stumble home alone. If fortune smiles upon you, they kill you where you stand. But if you're unlucky, they drag you down into the tunnels to meet their queen. Nocturnal is a free podcast-only audiobook from Scott Sigler, the creator of the sci-fi thriller Earthcore and the number one best-selling horror novel, Ancestor. Go ahead, get your scare on at scottsigler.net. And look for Scott's major hardcover release, Infected, available from Crown Publishing, April 1st, 2008.